Proverbs 3. And let's consider a familiar passage. Proverbs 3. Allow me to read, if you will, verses 1 through 8. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we need your word. We need the instruction of your word. We need the revelation of who you are in your word, Lord. This is our medicine. This is our food. This is for our well-being. We shall not live by just bread alone, by the food we eat alone, but we shall live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. So Lord, help us to delight ourselves in your word and consider ourselves blessed that we have your message to us. Enlighten us, inform us, help us to live out this text, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes it's good to take a familiar passage of Scripture and re-examine it. Just slow down and think about what it's saying. And so we have Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 that I would like to hone in on this morning. Proverbs is just that, a collection of proverbial sayings, short, pithy little sayings that tell us how to live life and how to live life wisely. And of course, as we read Proverbs, we know that there can be no wise living apart from the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. That is the very beginning of a wise and judicious course and living out our lives. Proverbs also informs us about the fool and the mistakes the fool makes and how to avoid them. And so we come to this passage of Scripture. 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I was thinking about this passage and I chose this title. What makes God happy makes me happy. The traits of faith. If you're taking notes, what makes God happy makes me happy, the traits of faith. And so number one is simply believing, a life of faith. We have that word trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does it mean to trust? We Christians, we bandy about that word, oh, believe and trust. And what does it mean to trust? Well, it doesn't mean just to believe something about God. Because the demons believe something about God. They believe that God is God. And there's nobody else but God who is God. They believe that and yet they tremble, says James chapter 2. So it's not just believing something about God, but it's believing in God. It's sort of entrusting my whole life to God. It's putting my confidence in God. It's putting my hope and my security for today and my hope and my security for tomorrow. It's putting it all on God. So yes, we Christians, we have to believe a lot of things about God. Otherwise, we'll never believe in God. Or we could say it this way. Believing things about God is a necessary prerequisite to believing in God. So that's where we Christians are. We're believing in God. We're finding our hope, our security, our confidence, our sense of well-being all dependent upon God. And who he is, and what he's done for us. It's finding shelter and protection and safety in God rather than in myself. When I trust in the Lord, it means that I'm not living life alone. I'm not trying to fend for myself, but I have the happy privilege of having someone else to look to, someone else to rely upon, someone else to turn to in all of the difficulties and stresses of life. Well, the Bible tells us in so many words over and over again to trust in the Lord. Why? Because the Bible tells us over and over again that God is worthy of our trust. He's entitled to our trust. God is big and He's powerful. He's good. He's kind. He's merciful. He's forgiving. So the Bible is just beckoning us, just calling us on every page of Scripture. Oh, just trust in God. Depend upon God. Turn away from yourself and self-reliance and trying to make it and make it on your own and fend for yourself. Just turn to God. Well, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? Well, it means to trust His power. To trust His wisdom. Oh yeah, God's wisdom. Oh, I gotta trust His wisdom. That means God is smarter than I am. I don't have everything figured out, but God does. What does it mean to trust in God? It means to trust in the wisdom of His commands. Yeah, God's told me how to live. And those commands that God has given to me as to how to live my life, they're good for me. If I trust in those commands and I do those commands, things will go well for me, or at least things will go better for me than if I don't keep those commands. So trusting in the Lord means to trust in everything there is to trust about the Lord. It's to trust His power, His wisdom, His goodness, His love. It's to trust His forgiveness. That when God says, I'm forgiven in Christ Jesus, I really am forgiven. I'm totally forgiven. All my sins have been washed away and I'm right in the eyes of God. Trust. Boy, maybe we don't really trust God as much as we should. Maybe we don't really trust God as much as we think we're trusting God. But we need to trust. And as I believe we study these statements, we're going to find out what it means to trust. Notice verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it goes on to say, and what does that trust mean? What does it mean to trust in the Lord with all your heart? Well, that's explained in the next command, which says, and lean not in your own understanding. Well, what does that mean? How does this all express itself in practical day-to-day life where the rubber meets the road? Well, then we get a third command. This is verse 6. Well, then in all your ways, acknowledge Him. So we have a series of three commands. Trust in the Lord, lean not in your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him. We do those three things, and then God will do something for us at the end of verse 6. He will direct our paths. So let's kind of meditate upon this morning and just chew in this passage of Scripture for a while. So number one is a life of faith, believing. That's what God calls us to, because God is worthy of our faith. That's what delights God. That's what pleases God. That's what makes God happy. Remember now this message about what makes God happy makes me happy. So if God is happy with me believing in Him and trusting in Him, trusting in His power, His wisdom, His goodness, His love, His forgiveness, everything there is about God, for me to trust and just cling to God, if that makes God happy, then I'll be happy too. When God is happy, I'm happy. So let's read on here. I notice in verse 5 it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So number two is wholehearted. The traits of faith. Wholehearted. So God doesn't want me just to trust in Him with some of my heart. Or most of my heart. But the text is emphatic. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I notice we're going to have a parallel when we get down to verse 6. It's going to say, in all your ways acknowledge Him. So we get that little word all appearing two times in these verses here. So what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all my heart? Well, let's think about heart. What is heart? Well, I don't think it's referring to the physical organ that pumps the blood. But it's referring to the totality of my inner being. It's referring to my mind and all of my affections, my goals, my desires, my aspirations. With just the full gamut of my inner being, trust in the Lord. Or in other words, make sure there's no place, no part of my life that's not trusting in the Lord. In other words, make sure there's no little corner of my heart or my mind or my life where it's going to be filled with doubts and fear and worry and anxiety. Sweep all that out. Get out the broom. Do some spring cleaning. Get rid of that. And Lord, I just want every part of my being, every last ounce of who I am, Lord, I want to be trusting, depending upon You, looking to You and Your power and Your wisdom and Your love and Your mercy each and every day. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We find from Scripture that God is not interested in half-hearted stuff. God does not want me serving Him half-heartedly. He doesn't want me believing in Him half-heartedly. God wants the whole of my heart. Now, why does God want the whole of my heart? Again, my answer is simplistic. Because God is worthy of my whole heart. God is so big and great and powerful and merciful and forgiving and loving. God is deserving of all of my faith, my trust, my confidence. He's worthy of my mind, my affections, my goals, my desires. He's worthy of everything, just going up Godward. Number three, what's another trait of this faith that we're called to exercise here? Number three is self-denying. Notice, if you will, the second command in the second command of verse 5. And lean not on your own understanding. Now, does that mean God is against knowledge? Does that mean God does not want us to exercise our minds? Does that mean God is against people going to school or going to college and getting training to be doctors or lawyers or accountants or business people? Is God even against people studying to be nurses? Or is God against people learning skills, how to fix cars, how to be mechanics? Is God against people learning how to maybe how computers work? Or is God against computer engineers and building those? Is God against building cars and rockets? Is God against knowledge? No, I don't think that's what the verse is saying. Is God against us having knowledge of Him? No. But the text says, lean not on your own. That's a key word there, your own understanding. And I think what this verse means is don't lean, because we've got to interpret this now in the light of Proverbs. Proverbs is dealing with how to live life. Proverbs is dealing with your worldview. Proverbs is not talking about the training and the knowledge and the expertise needed by doctors and lawyers and plumbers and carpenters and mechanics and nurses and school teachers and on and on the list. That's not what Proverbs is talking about. He's not talking about that kind of knowledge or that kind of skill. It's talking about a person's worldview. What is their outlook on life? So, don't lean on your own private, your unique understanding of things. In other words, don't box yourself into the confines of your own mind. Don't let your own mind become a prison cell. In other words, we Christians are called to open up our minds to God and to the revelation of God. The revelation of God in creation, the revelation of God in Christ, the revelation of God in the written word. Oh, let me say this in other words. Let me just look at it from a different perspective. If we humans rely merely on our own understanding of life, if we rely upon our own way of thinking apart from God and apart from God's revelation, where will that take us? Where will that take us? Let's look at keep your finger in Proverbs 3. We're coming right back. But if you will, go to Psalm 106. I want to take the time to make the point here about not leaning on our own understanding, not leaning on our own human wisdom, because we learn from the Word of God where that will take us. So if you will, go back to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And I'm just using a couple of examples here. Psalm 106. So this is what happens when human beings rely on their own understanding, their own knowledge, their own wisdom, apart from God, apart from God's revelation. This is what happens when human beings shut out God. This is the road that they go down. Notice Psalm 106 verses, let's start with verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. See, that's where human wisdom leads, when it's not enlightened by the reality of God and God's revelation. If you will, notice verses 13 and 14. Same psalm, Psalm 106, verse 13. They soon forgot God's works. They did not wait for His counsel or His advice or His wisdom or His revelation, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and they tested God in the desert, and God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Look at verse 19, if you will. Verse 19. Then they made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molded image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. That's what happens when human beings rely on their own understanding and their own mind becomes a prison cell. Notice verse 24. Then they despised the pleasant land, that would be the promised land. They did not believe God's word, but murmured in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore, God lifted up his hand and an oath against them and so on. This is what happens when we lean on our own wisdom and our own understanding. Notice verse 28. They joined themselves to be a Baal of Peor, and they ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked God to anger with their deeds. Now notice verse 34. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. That is where human wisdom, apart from God and apart from God's revelation, takes a person. If you want to find another example, just go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Here the Apostle Paul describes the downward spiral of human civilization away from God. Speaking that human beings once had the knowledge of God, but they moved away from that knowledge. So if you're there in Romans chapter 1, just to get the context here, notice verse 18, Romans chapter 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. See, that's what happens when people lock their themselves into the prison cell of their own mind. When they lean on their own wisdom, their own understanding, they suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them or among them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even God's eternal power and Godhead or divinity, so that they are without excuse. Now notice verse 21 especially, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts or in their understanding, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things and so on. So back to Proverbs chapter 3. When the writer of Proverbs here says, and lean not on your own understanding, it's with good reason. Because that is the path that humans go down when they rely upon their own understanding. They always go away from God. But when we look to God, and we look at God's word, we look at God's revelation, and we're humble, and we're willing to submit our minds, we're willing to yield our minds to the supremacy of God and to the perfection of his revelation, and when we're willing to listen to God and go God's way, then things will go well for us. So we have here a statement that we must live self-denying lives. Now, by that I don't mean that we deny ourselves things, we don't deny ourselves food and all the necessary things, we don't deny ourselves a vacation, but it means we deny our own mind being the master of our life. We yield our minds to God, we give our minds to God, and we just lay our minds before the throne of God and say to God, God, I want to serve you with my mind. I want to trust in you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean upon my own private wisdom or my own understanding apart from you. That's what we're saying. And then characteristic number 4 is faith is life-changing. Faith is life-changing. Oh, let me get back to Proverbs 3 here. Here we are. All right. Notice verse 6 now. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Boy, in all your ways. What does it mean by way? Or ways in the plural? I believe it means in all your choices, in all your decisions, in all your actions, in all your behavior, in all your conduct, in all your goals, in all your words, in all your speaking, in everything we think, and in everything we do. In other words, you see how this little word all now is claiming, making a total claim in our lives. It says in all your ways, not just some of your ways, not just most of your ways. You know, as a Christian, I can get content and feel satisfied. You know, boy, I acknowledge God in most of my ways. You know, I'm trying to live a pretty good Christian life, or I acknowledge God in some of my ways. But that's not what the text says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, in all your ways. Everything about you, everything you think, everything you do, everything you say is to acknowledge God. Every act, every choice, every decision is to acknowledge God. Someone has put it this way. They have said that for a Christian to believe is to have, and I quote, a strong personal faith that provokes changes in one's life to the glory of God. It is to have a strong personal faith that provokes changes in one's life to the glory of God. So in other words, if I say that I believe in God, I have faith in God, I'm trusting God with all of my heart, then it stands to reason then that should have an effect on my life because of who God is. God's great. God is awesome. He's revealed himself. He has commands. He has a will. He's security for my soul. So if I really am putting all of my trust in God, then I need to be acknowledging God in all my ways. Now, if there's no acknowledgement of God in all my ways, if there's no acknowledgement or recognition of God in my speech and my deeds and my choices and my actions, then it probably stands to reason I'm not really trusting in the Lord and trusting in Him with all my heart. Let's think about this little word to acknowledge. What does acknowledge mean? So I went to answers.yahoo.com to look up the word knowledge. You know, it's faster doing it that way than trying to find my big dictionary and thumbing through to find what the word acknowledge means. So I did a little Googling here, as they say. Well, to acknowledge means, and I've jotted down some of the definitions I found here. Acknowledge means to accept or admit the reality and truth of something or someone. So in this case, to acknowledge God in all my ways would mean to accept or admit the reality and the truth of God in all my ways. It would mean to acknowledge, admit the truth that God is God, that God exists, that God is alive, that God is powerful, that God is all that He says that He is. Another definition of acknowledge says to recognize the fact or the importance of. So this means then, if I'm going to acknowledge the Lord in all my ways, I must recognize the fact or the importance of God in all my actions and in my choices. It means God has something to say about how I should live my life. God wants my faith. He wants my loyalty. He wants my obedience. And when I acknowledge God in all my ways, I'm showing how important God is. If I don't acknowledge God or recognize Him in my actions and in the course and current of my life, then I'm saying, in effect, by my actions, God is not very important. All right, another definition from answers.yahoo.com says that acknowledge, the word to acknowledge means to recognize as being valid or having force or power. So if I acknowledge God in all my ways, I'm admitting by my actions that God is valid. He's really God. He's someone to be reckoned with. He really does have force. He really does have power. He's the creator. He's omnipotent. And yes, I really am accountable to Him. He's the judge of all the earth, and I must stand and give an account to Him. And here's another definition of acknowledge. It means to express thanks or gratitude. So if I'm going to acknowledge God in all my ways, it means that I'm also going to express gratitude and thanksgiving to Him for every good thing He's given to me. So I found that to be interesting. It helps me to sort of think more deeply about what that word to acknowledge means. It means to confess God, to admit God, to accept His reality, His validity. It means to see Him for who He really is in all my ways and in all my actions. It means also to express gratitude and thanksgiving to Him. So why should we acknowledge God? Just because He's God. He's there. He made us. He's our creator. He's our redeemer. We can't thank God enough for all that he's done for us. But what should we acknowledge about the Lord? Let's think about this a little more deeply now. The text says here that we should acknowledge, in all our ways, we should acknowledge the Lord. So, well, what about the Lord should I acknowledge? Well, the easy answer would be, well, everything. Everything there is to know about God, everything Scripture reveals, we need to acknowledge. But let me list some things in particular. I believe we need to acknowledge or recognize in our day-to-day conduct, in all of our choices and all of our actions, what we do, what we don't do, what we say and what we don't say, and what we think and what we plan, even how we use our money. We need to acknowledge God's power, God's sovereignty, and God's supremacy. We need to acknowledge that there's no one like the Lord, thus God is worthy of my total allegiance. We also need to acknowledge God's omniscience. Boy, God knows everything about me. He knows my mind, he knows my thoughts, he knows what I'm going to say even before I say it. God knows every place I go, he knows everything I do, he knows my fears, my worries, my anxieties, he knows what bothers me. God knows everything about me. So if I'm going to acknowledge God and acknowledge God's omniscience and his perfect knowledge of me and all my ways, that means I'll be on my best behavior, but I'll also be quick to pray. And when I feel upset or fretful or feel like things are out of control or beyond me, I'll pray and I'll ask God to intervene. I'll ask for his help. I'll turn my cares and my worries over to the Lord. I think something else we should acknowledge about the Lord is we should acknowledge his goodness and his provisions. We're here today, we're clothed, we're well fed, we have houses or apartments to live in, we have some means of transportation available to us, we live in a land of bounty. We need to acknowledge God in all our ways by thanking him, by praising him, by worshiping him, because he's worthy of it. Here's something else we can acknowledge about God. We need to acknowledge God's gift of salvation in Christ Jesus. We need to acknowledge and recognize and admit and confess everything that God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. If we don't accept Christ, we're really not accepting God. We also need to acknowledge God's holiness and righteousness. We need to acknowledge and admit the fact God is against evil. The reason God sent his Son into this world was to die for me and my sins, for your sins, to save us from our sins so we sin less and obey him more. By the way, if you notice in our text here, notice verses 7 and 8. We have a little further explanation as to what it means to acknowledge God in all our ways. It means don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. And then we have the blessing stated in verse 8. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And I think there's something else we need to acknowledge about the Lord. It's God's revelation in creation, in Christ, and in Scripture. This is God's Word. Lord, give me a hunger for it. Give me a desire for it. Lord, help me to know you in the pages of Scripture. May this be my food and my sustenance, O Lord. So we're supposed to acknowledge everything there is to know about God as revealed in Scripture. I've just listed a few things. But how or with what should I acknowledge God? Again, I've jotted down a few things. I should acknowledge God with my mind, my thoughts, my goals, my affections. I should acknowledge God with my body and with my deeds. Glorify God with your body, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I should acknowledge God with my voice, my tongue, my words, my speech. Praise him, worship him, make sure my speech is good, make sure that no one can fault the kind of words I use. Even if you hear your friends using other words that are not good for Christians to use, don't you use them just because you hear a lot of people at school using them. Acknowledge God in your speaking. Acknowledge God with your voice, your tongue, your words, and acknowledge God with your money. Notice what the text goes on to say here. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with what? Your possessions. And with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Yes. We're to even acknowledge God with my money and everything that he has blessed me with. After all, it's not my money. It's God's money. He gave it to me. He allowed me to have the health and strength to work, to earn a living, and whatever living you have, whatever. It's all from God. It's all a gift. And so we have that powerful instruction to acknowledge God in all our ways. I believe true faith in God is truly life-changing. And the last trait is number 5. Faith is number 5, rewarding. It is rewarding. Notice the end of verse 6. And God shall direct your path. So we have 3 commands. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, because we know where that's going to take us. We should acknowledge God, acknowledge and recognize him in all our ways, which makes God very happy. Oh, God is just God is ecstatic. God is just overflowing with a sense of euphoria, and God is more than happy. God is more than pleased. God is more than delighted to direct my life and direct your life. Because God is just so pleased with our faith and our acknowledgement of Him and all the things we do and all the things we say. And it says there, God shall direct your path. Some other translations say, God will make your path smooth, or God will make your path straight. If I'm going from point A to point B, which is easier? Going on a straight path that's nice and wide and smooth, or going on a path that's all windy and crooked? And it's going to take a lot longer to get there if the path is windy and crooked and just keeps going back and forth and looping around. It'll take many more times longer to get there. But if the path from point A to point B is straight, and it's smooth, and it's not crooked, and it's flat, I'll get there in no time. But oh boy, if it's this hills to climb, and lots of turns, and treacherous terrain, it'll take a long time to get there. So what this text is saying, I don't think it's promising that we'll have no trials or troubles or tribulations in life, because after all, proverbs are proverbial sayings, not necessarily definitive promises. But this is saying, we trust in the Lord with all our heart, we lean not on our own understanding, and we acknowledge God in all our ways, God will be pleased to direct our paths. God will be pleased to make our paths straight. In other words, things will go a lot better for us, a lot better, way better for us than if we don't trust in the Lord, and if we do lean on our own understanding, and if we fail to acknowledge God in all our ways, we'll make our own path crooked. We'll make it hard. How many people, we all know, how many people have made their life hard by very bad decisions, by very bad choices. Their own life has become hard and difficult and arduous because they are not trusting in the Lord. They are leaning on their own wisdom. They are going their own way. And they're not in any way acknowledging God in all the choices they make. And they have made life hard. Well, our life may well be filled with trials and difficulties, but we know God is with us. We have resource and recourse. And God will strengthen us, and God's grace will be sufficient for us in those situations. Who among us does not want to have God making our path smooth and making it straight? Who does not want to have God's blessing on our life? Let me close with one final thought. So often you may tune into political speeches. I happen to be one. I like to hear political speeches. I like to hear what the politicians are saying. I often like to hear presidential speeches. And so often politicians will, at the end of their speech, say something like, well, God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America. Great. I don't have a problem with that. That sounds good. But if we really want God to bless us, if we really want God to make our path as a nation straight and smooth, what do we need to do? The text is clear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God. And then God will make your path smooth and straight. But guess what? These politicians don't care about trusting in the Lord with all their heart. They don't care about leaning not on their own understanding. They don't care about acknowledging God in all their ways and all their choices and all their legislation that they craft and create. They just want God's blessing. Oh God, just look on us. Let us do whatever we want. Let us go our own way. Let us be stubborn. Let us be stiff-necked. Let us be rebellious. Let us ignore your word. Let us ignore your commands. And oh Lord, we still want you to bless us. Doesn't work that way, does it? That's what bothers me so often when these politicians just willy-nilly just tack on and may God bless the United States of America. They give no thought whatsoever as to what it takes for God to bless a person or this nation. They're blind and they're ignorant. It's just vain, pious-sounding rhetoric as far as I'm concerned. In any event, we know what it takes for God to bless us because God is happy to bless us. So let's ask God to help us to trust in Him with all of our heart. Let's pray. Lord God, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this collection of proverbs that teach us how to live. We thank you for the wisdom that's there, for the advice, for the instruction, for the commands that tell us in clear, no uncertain terms as to how we ought to live and what you will do for us, Lord. And so, Lord, just help us to trust in you. Lord, we're weak, we're frail, we get weary, we get tired, we get frustrated. Our lives are so often filled with fear and doubts, and so often the difficulties seem larger than maybe they really are. And so often we lose heart. Lord, just help us to trust in you with all of our heart and always be looking to you for your guidance and for your wisdom. Lord, we thank you for your word and the light of your word. Strengthen us all. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn, which is 425. We'll just sing two stanzas, the first and the second stanza of My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Hymn number 425.